Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. Amen. Considering the topic of consciousness of self versus God consciousness, iniquity versus the government of grace, and what is the fruit? We have talked about defining it. We've talked about entering from one to another. We've talked about how do I stay established in grace. What is the result? And 1 John chapter 4, if you would turn there please, and verse 9, the Word of God said, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God had sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this was made apparent, made known, openly shown, the love of God towards us." Consider what this is saying just for a moment. This is how God showed it. This is how God revealed it. And this is how God made it happen. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us. What towards us? The love of God towards us. The love of the King. The love of the Almighty Creator. The one who has the authority to create or to destroy. I was thinking earlier today, how big is God? And I thought to myself, well, He's everywhere present. But that is an insufficient explanation of how big is God. You see, to say He is everywhere present means there is a place to be present. But that is an insufficient explanation. That means that He would be restricted to this, to the extent of the universe. Except there's only one problem with that. Heaven and earth will pass away. He is bigger than that. He is bigger than the universe. He spoke it into being. The grandeur and the magnitude of God is beyond human comprehension. I could comprehend, okay, God is the size of the universe, enormously large. But that's not accurate, that's too small. He will cause it to pass away just as easily as He caused it to come into being. He spoke it into being, and one day He will take it away. He's bigger than the universe. Infinitely bigger. And this was a manifest, the love of God towards us. Can you comprehend this being? I certainly cannot. But one thing I do know about Him is that He manifested His love towards me. I don't understand it. I just know it's real. And so what did He do? He sent His only begotten Son into the world. Why? So He would die for me? Well, yes, in a manner of speaking, but that was not the goal. That was simply the means to the goal. Why did He send Him into the world? So that we might live through Him. So that I could experience the fullness of the life of God through the Son of God. What is the fullness of the life of God? The fullness of the life of God takes place when I experience the fullness of grace. The fullness of grace is what brings me into that life. This is the very purpose for the entire government of grace, to bring me into the life of God. And what is the life of God? In this was manifest the love of God. Do you get it? Do you get this? The life of God is manifested in His love. It is not something that is comprehensible. I can't understand the love of God. I can simply receive it. I can believe it, but I can't understand it. No one can. This is why Lucifer fell. He didn't believe the love of God because he could not comprehend the love of God. He could not comprehend how it is that a fallen man could receive the grace of God when he never deserved anything from God, and yet still Christ dies on the cross for him. Yet still God comes to the world as this little subspecies, if you will, to the angels. This is the love of God. The grace of God, the cross of Christ, the Word of God, the Word as it brings me to the cross as it brings me into God's light, the manifestation of it, the fruition of it, is the love of God. This is how I get to know God. This is how I get to know His heart. This is the result. Me knowing God, me receiving His love, me getting to know who He is, me getting to know His essential character and nature is the result of God's government. The purpose for God's government is so that I can experience being loved by a being I can't even comprehend, the grandeur of which is beyond the scope of the universe, and yet He loves me and I can experience that love. Go figure. It is an incomprehensible love. It's a love that I simply receive by faith. I don't try to understand it. I just know it is. Iniquity will try to understand the love of God. Why? Why should God love me? And the focus is back to the oriented self focus. And when that question comes to mind, I remove myself from receiving because I remove myself from believing. Why should God love me? It has nothing to do with you. It's pure government of God grace. It has nothing to do with you. He loves you because He's love. God will not stop being who He is for me. The beauty of it is I get the benefit of who He is because He won't stop being who He is for me. You see what I'm saying? God will not be robbed by iniquity. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us. Because God sent. That word sent there is in the perfect active indicative tense. And it's speaking of the permanent mission of God. He sent. Perfect voice means that it's a present continuous action. He sent. Active voice means that God did the sending. Indicative mood means it is a dogmatic reality. He sent and He continues to send. And it's not the Son that He's sending to the cross, but another of the same kind, and He continues to send. But in a manner of speaking, and we've talked about this before, in a manner of speaking, in one sense, because God lives in eternity, the cross never ended. How is it that all the sins of the world could be placed upon Him? Because it took place in eternity in Revelation 13:8. in that one sense, He is still on the cross, and every single sin that I commit, He is still taking on His body, He's still paying for it, He's still cleansing me in the blood, not in a condemning way, but in a releasing way. In a way that He's removing it from me. God is saying, you've got iniquity, I'm removing it from you. You continue to have iniquity in your experience, I'll continue to remove it from you. Until the day I go home, God will continue removing my iniquity from me. This is the nature of grace, and its motivation and its energization is God's character. And this was manifested, the love of God, that He presently and continuously sent His Son so that I may live through Him. That means because it's a present tense and it's an active voice, that means God is producing the action. It doesn't depend on me. It depends on God. It doesn't depend on me. But I get the benefit of this because continuously I live through Him. And it's finished and it keeps being finished. And every time I fail, every time I make a mistake, every time I backslide, every time I have a bad thought, every time I have an outright failure, it doesn't matter, it has been finished and it continues to be finished, and I was made new and I'm made new again. It's like Jeremiah said, I have made you and I have made you again, O Virgin Israel. I failed, but I was made new. I failed again and I was made new again. I'm continuously cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't stop cleansing me. I'm continuously living through Him. Living through Him is grace. Living through Him is the result of the cross, and it's the cross that brings me into His government. But whoso keepeth His word, in 1 John 2:5, in Him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. How is it that the love of God is perfected in the person who keeps God's word? How can I keep God's word? How can I enter into His promises? How can I sustain that which God has said? Very simple. Faith. How is faith going to work? Faith is energized by love. If my faith is energized by the love of God to the point where I'm resting in the finished work, where I'm resting in His promises, where I'm resting in His doctrine, where I have the ability to think with the mind of Christ on a continual basis, the energization of faith, love, is perfected in me. It's a perfect energy producing a perfect faith, responding to a perfect love, implementing a perfect word, trusting the perfect promises. And this is how we live as believers. In Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the result of the government of grace. I receive God's love, and I pour out God's love. And now the government of grace is an operational reality in the life of the believer. Do you see the beauty of this, the elegance of this design? I receive from God to take me into His life, put me in His government, and pour out His essence as He pours it into me. This is an amazing design. From the throne of God, there flows a river. The throne of God is a man's heart. The river is the river of God. In Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The person that knows how to love is the person who knows how to walk in God's government. It's not legalism. It's not the obedience of rules. It's the expression and the manifestation of a government in a believer's life. And it's not striving. It's not should or could. It's God has done. That's what it is. It's God has done. And when I enter into what God has done, I'm able to enter and to experience the government that is a government of loving kindness, tender mercies, unmerited divine favor. And this is the government. This is the rule. In a government like that, what can I do but to love one another? Because that's the government. That is God's government toward me. Tender mercies and loving kindness and unmerited divine favor. What else can I do? Because I operate in a government. So now the government is in my heart. The government, the governing, the ruling principle, the ruling precept of divine action in the mind of a man, as the mind of a man takes on the mind of God. And it becomes the governing principle, the ruling precept of divine action, that is the action of a mind, of a man's mind, as it has taken on a divine mind and results in a divine thought that produces a divine initiation out of a divine motivation that has a divine result. It's the love of God. And this is how the love of God flows through a man. Because I have entered into a kingdom of grace. I do not live in the kingdom of iniquity. I do not live in Satan's domain. I do not live in that consciousness of self. I live in a consciousness of God. I do not live in quick reaction and negativity. I do not live in defensiveness or hostility. I do not jump to conclusions. I do not live in a response that is an emotionally based response. I live in a government of God because my consciousness is not of self or what you think or what I think or anything horizontal or of the earth. My consciousness is of the mind of God, as the mind of God has taken over the mind of a man, and the mind of a man is ruling that man's thoughts. And so that man now has the mind of God, which initiates that divine precept. And that divine precept initiates that divine thought, which initiates a divine action, which initiates a divine life out of divine habits, which are simply repeated divine actions. The manifestation of God's government is the love of God. That's how it was manifested towards us. That's how it's manifested in us. It's the love of God. Nothing else. It's the love of God. Matthew 24. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He's talking about the end times. He's talking about today's age. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity takes me out of the love of God. That place where we go to as believers, where there's a consciousness of self rather than a consciousness of God, is the very thing that takes me out of the love of God. This is what happened in the garden. They became conscious of self and hid from God. Why? Because they were removed from His love. They were afraid. They were removed from the love of God. How do I stay in the love of God? Consciousness of God. How do I get there? Word of God. Simple as that. What's the result? What's the fruit? The love of God. And now I have a consciousness of God that does not have a consciousness of self that results in fear, but has a consciousness of God that results in confidence, and I may approach into the throne of grace boldly to get immediate help in time of need. Do you see the difference? That consciousness of self is a killer. The consciousness of God is where I get my life. And the Word of God takes me there. The cross of Christ puts me into the kingdom, into the governing principle, and the love of God is the result of it. Because iniquity shall abound. It will be made full, is what it means in the original language, or multiplied or increased. The love of many shall wax cold. Why does that happen? Well, in the verse before that, in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. What does that tell me? That preachers who don't preach God's word promote Satan's kingdom. That's what it says. It's in your Bible, Matthew 24. The preacher who will not preach God's word in the fullness of the full counsel of the Word of God, that preacher is a preacher who is not teaching it properly. That means he is a false prophet. A false prophet is not the same as someone claiming to be Christ. A false prophet is a prophet who does not proclaim the Word of God properly. And the result is that iniquity, Satan's kingdom, is promoted and the love of many waxes cold. They rob people of fruit. They rob people of the life of God. They rob people of the Holy Spirit's work in their heart. Incredibly dangerous. This is why in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God had something to say to pastors who did not properly feed the flock. Pastors who don't get weary in the Word of God in their studying. Pastors who don't rightly divide the Word of truth. Pastors who want to ignore portions of Scriptures because it may not be popular with their congregation. They are leading people into iniquity. Satan's kingdom. This is why Jesus said to the Pharisee, you make them twice the children of hell that you are. Serious stuff. Jesus didn't care if he hurt somebody's feelings. He used some pretty rough language. Why? He wasn't going to live in iniquity and he wasn't going to have anything to do with it. And if iniquity was there, he was calling it iniquity. He wasn't going to mix words. He was going to say it right from the throne. How do we get there? Ephesians 6:24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. And sincerity. The government of God. The government of God is expressed in those who love God. You see, if I love self, then I don't love God. I can't serve two masters. If I love self, how do I love God? If I love God, how do I love self? I can't serve two masters. But if I love God, then I will love His Word. If I love His Word, then it will produce a cross in me. If it produces a cross in me, it'll lead me to His grace. If it leads me to His grace, it'll manifest His love. In 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The grace of our Lord is exceedingly abundant. Faith comes by hearing. So the results of the Word of God being heard, and the essence, the character of God energizing it. And that is how I get into God's government. Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Iniquity and the fruit of iniquity, which is sin, will have no dominion under me, over me, if I do not try to be righteous before God on any kind of a self-effort, but on the basis of God's government in my life that is produced by His Word in my life. And now sin has no dominion, no rule. What has rule? Grace has rule. The Word of God becomes governmental and grace has rule. Loving kindness is ruling your life. Tender mercies are ruling your life. A divine, unmerited favor, the favor of the One whom the universe cannot contain, who is so much greater than the universe that He's spoken into being that He'll wipe it out in a flash, that One's unmerited favor is toward you, and that's what rules your life. That's the government of your life. How can believers turn from God when this is the government of God? How can a person turn from loving kindness? How can a person turn from tender mercies? How can anyone say, "Oh, I don't need that"? There is a way. It's called pride. How Satan did it. It's how believers do it also. But humility and meekness before God will turn me right to Him. And though I may even be in a fallen state, humility and meekness before God will turn me right to Him and will cause His government to rule my life. And it'll happen quickly. With the woman at the well, how long was the conversation? 5 minutes? With the woman caught in adultery, how long did that take? Maybe 20 minutes? Probably less. And their lives were transformed. Why? There was a government of tender mercies towards these women. Do you see it? The government of God is such that it will always manifest the love of God. And so when the love of God is manifested, the government of God is functioning. If I do not live in receiving the love of God, and God's governing principles are not functioning in my life. Because the governing principles of God bring me to His love. It depends on what you want, really. It really does. We've always been free volitional agents. God made us that way. It depends on what you want. If you want God, you can have Him. If you want the fullness of who He is, you can have Him. But you can't do it in a consciousness of self. It can only take place in a God consciousness. If you want other things, you can have them. But you live in a consciousness of self, and you live in the enemy's government. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him," I love this verse. Love the way that this puts it. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He looked at him and he loved him. And he didn't just glance at him. He set his gaze on him. And he loved him. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest. See, there was one thing that was keeping him from the government of God. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. He said to him, get rid of the thing that your soul longs for. Get rid of the thing where the consciousness of self is clinging to something on a horizontal basis that becomes your security. Get rid of it. And as you get rid of that, you actually build your own treasures in heaven, not because of the thing, but because of your response to God. Now, look at the progression. Get rid of what's in your way, keeping you from God. Take up your cross. Take up the life of God that brings you into His government. And then you have the ability to follow me. The order cannot be reversed. It is not possible for me to follow God apart from the cross. It is not possible for me to follow God if I am living in a self-conscious mentality. I get rid of the things that keep me from Him. I get His life through His cross. And then I have the ability to follow Him. How can I follow God if I don't have His life? It's impossible. He is living in eternity and He's eternal life. And how can I live with Him and follow Him if I don't have the same eternal life? It's not possible. And so I sell all that I have. I sell my natural security and my natural thinking. I sell my natural way of doing things. I sell my emotions and my mind. I sell all the natural reasoning that I can come up with. I sell my affections that are earthly. And I take on the life of God, and now I follow Him. And now I'm with Him. And now there's a government. Now there's grace. Now I'm experiencing the life of God. There's a way to come into that experience. And there is a result of that experience. There's a way to come into the fullness of who God is. And there is a result of being in the fullness of who God is. The result is the love of God. Do you know why some people really know the love of God? Some people who've gone through suffering that was unbearable, and they come out and they really know the love of God. Because they sold all they had. They didn't preserve, they sold. And they wound up at a cross that produced a life. And now they know His love. Amen.